Father in heaven, I want to thank you. As this moment now approaches, that we open your sacred word and speak. Actually, hopefully listen to you speak to us through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, wake us up. Open our hearts and minds. Keep Satan away from disturbing, distracting, so that we can see what a glorious God we worship and have. And Lord, use me in spite of me, so that honor and glory may come to your name and yours alone. And thank you that you heard and you will answer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the series we've been looking at is entitled The I Am's of the Book of John. This is part 7, and it's called I Am the Good Shepherd. So today we're going to plumb the depths. Well, no, we're going to touch the surface of what Jesus meant when he said, I am the good shepherd. But before we do, I want to introduce this topic by looking at this past president, the 16th president of the United States. Who is that? Abraham Lincoln. And I want to read to you briefly from his address at the Sanitary Fair in Baltimore, Maryland. This is a lecture that he gave in April 18th, 1864. And you know, I got to say this, it's off target, but Abraham Lincoln just so incredibly impresses me. That man can say so much in such a short amount of time. For this address was, again, just 4, 5, 6 paragraphs, while others go on and on and on. And if you've ever been to the Lincoln Memorial and stood there and read the Gettysburg Address that he wrote in his lap in a train getting down there, it was just incredible what this man can say in so few words. And I think it's because he prayed. The world has never had a good definition of the word liberty. And the American people just now are much in want of one. We all declare for liberty, but in using the same word, we do not all mean the same thing. With some, the word liberty may mean for each man to do as he pleases with himself and the products of his labor. While with others, the same word liberty may mean for some men to do as they please with other men and the products of other men's labor. Here are two, not only different, but incompatible things, called by the same name, liberty. And it follows that each of the things is, by the respective parties, called by two different incompatible names, liberty and tyranny. The shepherd drives the wolf from the sheep's throat, for which the sheep thanks the shepherd as a liberator, while the wolf denounces him for the same act as a destroyer of liberty, especially as the sheep was a black one. Plainly, the sheep and the wolf are not agreed upon the definition of the word liberty. And precisely the same difference prevails today among us human creatures, even in the North, and all professing to love liberty. Hence, we behold the processes by which thousands are daily passing from under the yoke of bondage, hailed by some as the advancement of liberty and bewailed by others as the destruction of all liberty. Recently, as it seems, the people of Maryland have been doing something to define liberty, and thanks to them, that in what they have done, the Wolves Dictionary has been repudiated. Today I want to share with you the Good Shepherd, and we will discover where real liberty lies. So I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to John, the 10th chapter, and let's start by reading verse 1 through 10, 1 through 14, excuse me, and we will set the stage and then go on to look at the phrase that Jesus, the statement Jesus made, "I am the Good Shepherd." John, the 10th chapter. Children, do you have your Bibles? I hope you brought your Bibles, boys and girls. Open them up if you would. We learned from Auntie Dee Dee's children's story that all are important to the church, right? And children are important to the church, and God loves you to have your Bible. John, the 10th chapter, and look what it says. Jesus spoke. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, leads them out, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Therefore, he continued by saying this, "Most assuredly, I say to you," verse 7, "I am the door to the sheepfold. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find good pastures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves, and the sheep flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is the hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine own." And so Jesus declared to them, because they didn't understand what he was trying to say, he clearly delineated for them, "I am the good shepherd." So first, let's start by looking at this phrase, and I put the two together. Notice, he did not say, "I am the shepherd." What did he say? "I am the good shepherd." What does that imply? Yeah, there are shepherds that are not good. And Jesus gave us an incredible theological insight when he said, "good shepherd." So let's look at the word "good" and let's look at the word "shepherd" and see what we can determine. So let's go to Ezekiel 34. Everyone turn with me to Ezekiel 34 in the Old Testament. And let's see what we find there. We're going to find the bad shepherds and we're going to find the good shepherd. Okay? I hate to define the word good by bad, but we're going to do that because the Bible does. Ezekiel 34. If you've never read this before, this is going to be a real treat to you. If you've read it before, it'll highlight what you've already read, but hopefully it'll emphasize and make it more vivid and real. We're going to look at verses 2 through 5. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the sheep herder, the shepherd, feed the flock? You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatling, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, and nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away. No, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. I looked at this and I thought, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Do you know that both in John 10 and here in Ezekiel, he's talking to the leadership of his chosen people? And do you see the list of things? By the way, in the list of things that the shepherds aren't doing, it tells us what the good shepherd does. Did you pick up on that? Have you sat down recently and enumerated the things that Jesus, the good shepherd, does for us in spite of our pains, wounds, afflictions, trials, temptations, hurts, anxieties, whatever it is we're facing in this world? And believe me, if there's anybody here that's at complete peace and has no problems in your life, I pray for you, because it might be because you don't have Jesus and Satan isn't bugging you. It's possible. But those who love the Lord, it says, will suffer persecution. And I want you to know, all these things they weren't doing is what Jesus does. Can you say amen to that? That's what the good shepherd is. But notice, there are bad shepherds. We've got a choice of which shepherd we're going to decide to follow. And my heart aches. I'm thinking, Lord, don't let the Paradise Church be guilty of this. We want to be a church that steps up to the plate and acts like the good shepherd. And when we don't, we want to fess up to it right then and there. Say we're sorry, make amends, and let's go back at it again. In the meantime, those who see somebody stumble, instead of stepping on them, let's pick them up, dust them off, and get them back out there. You feed yourself. You clothe yourself. You don't feed the flock. The weak you don't strengthen. Those who are sick you don't heal. You don't bound up those that are broken. You don't bring back the lost who are driven away. You don't seek after the lost. And with force and cruelty you have ruled over them. Jesus said, I'm not like that. I'm not ruling over you with force and cruelty. I'm ruling over you with love and compassion. And yes, sometimes your opinion disagrees with mine, but I'm the shepherd. I know what's good for you. How many times does the Bible refer to sheep, folks? Hundreds. And it's because sheep are dumb. There is a way that seems right unto the man, to a man, but the end thereof is death. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I want you to know, praise God, there's a good shepherd. There's a good shepherd. Look at verse 14. So, what is God's or Jesus' antidote to this horrible situation in Israel back in the Old Testament time? And of course, we just read in John, the same situation is existing as he's speaking to the people. What is it? Verse 14, he says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures of the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost. I will bring back what was driven away. Bound up the broken and strengthen what was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Hallelujah! Somebody's doing right. I love this. And by the way, you know, recently we initiated a program where we would start reaching out to some of our missing members. Why are we doing that? Because you notice the bad shepherds aren't looking for the lost. The good shepherd, Jesus, is. And now we have the good shepherd defined. Did you know that the sheep, if they're thirsty and even dying of thirst, if the water is moving, they will not drink. He leads me beside still water. It's the shepherd's job to find still water, or the sheep will stand there staring at the rivulet, at the stream flowing or the waterfall, and die of thirst right there next to the water because it's moving. And when they get to the green pasture, the sheep, by the way, where are the sheep? The pasture's right there. Where's the shepherd? Where's the sheep? The shepherd's right there in front looking at the pasture. Behind him is the sheep. When he gets to this beautiful, lush green area, he says, sit down. And then he goes over and he looks for noxious plants, because guess what the sheep will eat? And he pulls everyone up by root, and when he's all done, he'll say, let's go, guys. The shepherd does everything for the sheep. And folks, God calls us sheep for a reason. Yes, you're to use your minds. Yes, you're to use your brains. Yes, you're to use your muscles. You know, that's why reading your Bible and spirit prophecy, you find a balance, okay? But we are to trust Jesus as the good shepherd to provide for our needs as we do our daily duties. And so I want you to know, he said, I am the good shepherd. And now we know better what a shepherd is and what good is. Number two, I know my sheep. Can you say hallelujah? All right, I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Who here has a personal relationship with Barack Obama? When's the last time he called you on the phone? How about Mitt Romney? Surely you've gone to eat. Michael, you watch it there. No. You must have gone to supper with him, didn't you? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody open the door, I'm coming in with you and I'm going to eat with you. He knows his sheep. He knows them by name. And if that doesn't impress you enough, then go over to Isaiah 41, where he says he called them all, the stars, he made every one of them and calls them all by name. And today astronomers, with the increased technology, are mind-boggled at how many stars exist. Jesus says, I call them all by name, not one of them is missing. Jesus knows you. Jesus is proud of you. If anybody here is a great sinner and you don't believe that statement, then you need to go back to the Old Testament in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, when he told Moses to get over there and get his people who had been slaves for 250 years. And if they've been slaves for 250 years in Egypt, would you like to describe what kind of people these were? Totally uneducated. They were no longer keeping the Sabbath because they were ordered to work 7 days a week. And they were immoral, uneducated, a wild group, because they were completely dominated by their taskmasters. And Jesus says, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. He calls him my people. He didn't say those Israelite people. He says my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason their taskmaster. And I am come down to deliver them. And one day I read that, folks, and it just struck me. He called them his people. He is not ashamed of us. In spite of what a mess we are, he calls us his people. He knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. By the way, what does John 17:3 say? I threw this in because it's one of the crux. John 17:3, the pastoral prayer of Jesus. Here is life eternal. Here, Jesus said, here is life eternal. Jesus is now going to define life eternal. And I go, well, okay, God, what is eternal life? Please define it for me. I need to know. That they know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And that word know is an intimate word. Not just, I heard about Him. But somebody I spend time with. Somebody I communicate with. Eternal life is defined by Jesus' own words during His prayer. His pastoral prayer, His intercessory prayer in John 17, just before He entered the Garden of Gethsemane, just before He died, He clearly said that life eternal is to know Me. Know Me. Well, number three, last one. What does it say about the Good Shepherd? The Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. You can't beat this, folks. What other religion on the face of the earth except Christianity has their God dying for them on a cross of Calvary? Tortured, humiliated, mocked, naked. The Romans knew how to torture. And the Israelites wanted Him to experience that in front of all of them. And while He hung there, they went and made fun of Him. And you got to read your Matthew, Mark, and Luke very carefully, and it delineates them. All the people who were there made fun of Him. All the religious leaders made fun of Him. The Roman soldiers made fun of Him. And the two thieves on the cross made fun of Him. He gives His life for the sheep. Has He asked you to give something up in order to be a better Christian witness? He has a right to, because you see, He already paid the ultimate price. It is not easy today in this environment and society and culture to be a Seventh-day Adventist who believes the Bible standards as well as the Bible doctrines. And whenever you have a hassle with any one of them, folks, go to the cross of Calvary and you will be encouraged not to shy down or back down. How are we going to attract the world to us if we are just like they are? We look just like they do. We act just like they do. We eat like they do. We ordain ourselves like they do. Come on. The Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And nothing can commend God and His ways to us than the fact He's paid the ultimate price. Well, let's look at sheep real quick. We need to look at this because it says, my sheep. So let's identify my sheep and see where you are. Verse 3, my sheep what? Listen to my voice, His voice. Number 2, His sheep, Him. Number 3, know His voice. Yes. And get the stranger. First of all, it says they do not follow the stranger. Then it says they flee from the stranger. And then it says that they know not His voice. You know, when I read that, that really impacted me. How often do I listen to the stranger's voice through the TV, through video? Yeah! That's little Mary. She's all excited for Jesus. I love it. We're filling our minds with His voice, the stranger's voice, for hours. And we may find a little time for the Good Shepherd to say something to us. And finally, the last one, it says in verse 14 of John, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read that. It says this, then Jesus said to them plainly, whoops, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and am known by my own. They know me. Friends, how much time are you spending with Jesus every day? How much time are you listening to His voice through the Word of God? How much time are you expressing to Him your feelings? And how much time are you learning through the Spirit of prophecy every day? Because the Good Shepherd knows His and wants His to know Him. So what is real liberty? Only real liberty is inside the fold of Jesus Christ, confined by the fence that He has erected and entered or exited only by the door He created. And He is at it, the door, to make sure as we come in, we're okay. And as we go out, we're going out for the right reason to the right place. Friends, Jesus is the good shepherd, and He loves His sheep, and He wants His sheep to know Him. Father in heaven, I want to thank You for the challenge of this hour. As You uttered, I am the good sheep, to the people who were trying to figure out who God was and what He was like. And now we more clearly see because of Your statement. Bless each one here, Lord. May they spend time every day in pursuing to know You so that they can clearly see that You're there and You're working in their behalf no matter what is going on. Don't let anyone leave this sanctuary today without making a decision, Lord. And then give us the ability, the desire, and the freedom to then express what You've done for us to others so they can be set free also. So blessed to this end, and thank You for hearing this prayer because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.